What's up, radios? This is Tim, and this is 10 with Tim. Roughly 10 minutes of an interview with a celebrity or somebody more famous than I am. And I'm going to be doing these, well, as much as possible. And in fact, I'm going to dig back into my archives of old interviews with famous people and cut out all the things that need to be cut out and putting them right here in the Radio Labyrinth feed. So why not kick it off with comedian, Whitney Cummings. Check out Whitney's Good For You podcast, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and YouTube. Whitney is bringing her How Dare You stand-up tour to Center Stage Theater on Friday, April 24th at 8 p.m. Tickets available at WhitneyCummings.com and Ticketmaster.
Hello, it's Whitney.
Thank you for calling me. I appreciate it. I haven't seen you or talked to you in 11 years. You don't remember me, but I met you.
Been a while. Exciting.
Yes. Whitney Cummings is on a tour, and the name of the tour is How Dare You. Where does that name come from?
It comes from just sort of in this moment, this climate, where when comedians tell jokes, people get upset and go like, how dare you make a joke? It's like, no, this is what we do. We're comedians. And so I just was a little miffed about it, and I think that most people in America who aren't on Twitter all day picking people apart and judging people and being a buzzkill, I think most people want to laugh. You know, I think most people know what the difference between a joke is and what isn't a joke. I think most people just want to go to a show and check out and don't want to hear about politics. You know, I almost called the tour the No Politics I Promise tour.
But you can't promise that.
Yeah, I can.
You can?
I mean, someone would have to heckle it from the audience.
Okay.
I bring up no politics whatsoever in the tour. I think it's just, you know, between Facebook and Twitter and the late night shows and, you know, Instagram, I think people are bombarded with stuff about politics all day. And it's our job as comedians to help people kind of check out and forget about all that crap for a night.
I like that. Last week I saw Dana Gould and Bobcat. They did dueling on stage.
And they're great.
And Dana said the woke alarm, which is from the crowd. The groans.
That is so funny. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think right now it's I don't complain about it. I think we all just have to kind of course correct a little bit. And the last thing I want is someone to go to the show and say, oh, it was so funny until the politics came. And, you know, I'm not interested in telling anyone how to vote, how to live. I just signed up to be a comedian and tell dirty jokes every now and then.
You want to make people laugh. That's a wonderful thing.
That's it.
I love making people laugh.
And what makes people laugh is changing a little bit, you know, and that's fine. It's our job to just change with it.
Right. Well, you're going to be in Atlanta at the Center Stage Theater. That is April 24th, 2020. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them at WhitneyCummings.com or wherever else you buy tickets. But I would go to your website to give you some traffic. Ticketmaster, go there.
Thank you. Yeah. I have not been... I have not performed in Atlanta since, I want to say, the Punchline, like 10 years ago.
So that's when I met you. I was the producer of the Regular Guy show, and you came in and did the show, and then you went with Jamie back to the Punchline and did your weekend, and we saw you, but you never came back. Why not?
Oh, I was mad at you, I think.
Not me.
No, I don't know. I'm making that up. I have no clue. I have no clue. But I remember... loving Atlanta so much, and all the comedians talk about how great the crowds are in Atlanta. I know Joey Diaz is coming soon.
Yeah.
I'm just really excited.
Yeah, we've had a good comedy scene for years, and the local comics, and I'm almost 50, so I have all my favorite comedians who are now older and don't play comedy clubs or whatever, you know, like Attell still plays comedy clubs, but now there's all these new guys and gals, and their comedy is really good and it's really funny. But I based on what you said at the beginning of the interview, do you think it's tougher for them to try to do comedy the way maybe their heroes did because of the culture?
Well, I don't think so. I disagree.
Good,
you know,
good.
To me, like, you know, when people say something is off limits, it makes us just want to talk about it more.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just makes comedians talk about stuff that's taboo, and the more things that are taboo, the more things we have to talk about, and the more people say don't talk about that, we're like 5-year-olds.
Yeah.
We're just going to go start talking about it more, you know? So But I also think the only thing crazier than the outrage about jokes is the outrage about the outrage.
Yep.
You know, we have to stop. Comedians, we got to stop. You know, it's our job to whine about things. It's our nature to, you know, complain.
Uh-huh. And Twitter's not the real world anyway, so it doesn't matter.
That, you know, you are exactly right. I heard 22% of Americans are on Twitter. Of that, 2% generate 80% of the comments.
There you go.
So it's a pretty small group of people. You know, when I go out on tour and I see people in the audience, I'm like, you're not a troll. None of you are trolls. You're all here to laugh. Like, we magnify, I think, and really amplify, you know, the negativity. That's our nature. But, you know, I think most people are like, no, we just want to laugh. We don't really care if you tweeted something off color 10 years ago.
Right.
Like, we forgive you. Like, you know, it's we can move on.
Good thing Richard Pryor or George Carlin didn't have Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I did. That's a really, really smart point.
Yeah, they'd be done.
I don't think a lot of Richard Pryor and some Carlin stuff, if it came out today, yeah, it'd have to be written a little bit differently. But I think, you know, back then, like, I don't know. I just think smart people who sometimes are not always in, you know, Hollywood, you know, Hollywood tends to think they're all the smartest people on the planet. I disagree.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of really smart people out there that can go, you know what? I don't necessarily ethically align with this choice you make, but I can still laugh at the fact that you made it.
Yeah.
You know, you're up here pointing out your own flaws. Like, I can see you're judging yourself. That's what Richard Pryor did. He judged himself first and then we all laughed. So I don't have to judge you. You already judged yourself. We're good.
I like that. Now, part of the reason why maybe you weren't in Atlanta, and this is going to kind of be a 2-point question, is you've been really busy producing and acting and I suppose directing, but doing an awful lot of TV work over the years. Now, when you're doing all that, do you still find time to go out and do, you know, a set at night to keep yourself fresh?
It's really hard to do both. And, you know, I had 2 TV shows I was working on that didn't end up happening. And no, I normally have to take time off, but I think to write good stand-up, you do have to take some time off and have a little bit of a life so that you have something to write about. You know, sometimes comedians, when we're only in airplanes and comedy clubs, the only jokes we have are about airports and, you know, hotels.
Yeah.
And that's why you see so many airplane jokes from comedians. We're always on airplanes.
Yeah. Well, talk about what you know.
Yeah, I like to step away sometimes and have a real life so that I can come back fresh with some good ideas. But now I'm full-time, about to do 22 cities, and, you know, pretty much only focused on stand-up.
Now, will your next special come from this tour and then, you know, be on Netflix?
That's exactly right. So all the material you're going to see at this show is me working out for the next special. So you'll see it at its, you know, not at its perfect version, but you'll help me work it out and make it perfect.
And
so
clap and laugh.
Yeah. And you guys will decide what makes it in and what doesn't, basically.
Now, will you bring your robot with you? Because when you're in Atlanta, it's good to have that for the HOV lane.
Yes. No, it's very helpful in traffic, but she does not get to come on tour with me because she's too darn heavy and I have to ship her in a coffin.
I always thought that a guy who would order one, not to, you know, for the real reason, would buy one of those. And then it shows up. It's like, does the mailman say, hey, your coffin is here, and wonder what's inside of that?
You know, they make it very discreet. But yes, I would imagine everybody still kind of know.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to talk about your doll, because it was covered last summer to great detail and it was funny as hell. And it was scary looking. It was very scary looking, but it was still funny. I think those they look like it was animatronic, right? Like the eyes moved and.
Yeah, I just look, I again, like, I take being a comedian super seriously, and I always want to give the audience something they've never heard or never seen, or, you know, something shocking. And there are so many great specials out there right now. I really wanted to figure out a way to put something in that was like, oh, holy moly, she, you know, I've never seen that before. So my challenge is to do that again.
Well, I want to tell the audience of the show, if you didn't get a chance to see it, Can I Touch It was last year's special. And this year's tour, by the way, what was the name again?
How Dare You.
How Dare You.
How dare you.
Whitney Cummings, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know this is your last one, so now you can go enjoy your day. I look forward to seeing you on April 24th in here in Atlanta at Center Stage.
Thank you so much for taking the time. What a joy.
And I'll see you then.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
All right, bye-bye.